Good morning, group two. Good to see everyone. The nice thing about today is I will take the cold and the sunshine over the wind and sideways rain last week. group one got off easy. It was group two and three that we got hit with. And I do want to say this. I complimented Dave earlier. I'm going to do it now since he was here. I commend the man who had his hand on one Bible, his hand on his notes while the wind was going this way, and he didn't miss a step. So, as I said earlier, great mentor. If you would open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to look at just a couple passages there. In fact, if you just want to look, get over to verses 13 through 16 for a moment. While you're turning there, I'm going to tell you give you a little illustration here. A man walked up to a little league game, and he peeked in the dugout, and he asked the young man, he says, "So what's the score?" And the young man kind of looked up at him. He says, "Well, sir, it's 18-0. We're losing." And the man looked at him and he says, "You guys must be pretty discouraged." And the young boy looked at him, "Discouraged? Not at all. We haven't even got up to bat yet." Sometimes we may feel like that little boy. Sometimes we may feel that the odds are stacked against us. Things you're almost like, okay, we're going to get through this on a miracle or a prayer or something like that. Sometimes, I hope not too often, but there may be times in our life spiritually where we may feel that way. I want to talk a little bit this morning about hope. And let's talk about one of the greatest gifts that God has given us, and that is hope. And His promises inspire hope. When I think about prayer, when I think about heaven, when I think about my brothers and sisters in Christ, those are all things, those are people, those are gifts from God that inspire my hope and help me stay focused on God and His grace. Hope gives us the ability to look at any situation, and that regardless of how it plays out or how it appears, God is going to provide. That's what hope does. In fact, you might even say that's the essence of hope. But at the same time, we all have challenges. You and I have the same challenges, maybe some more than others. And challenges attack our hope. Challenges have a way, or trials or persecutions. Let's just remind ourselves for a moment here that Peter is talking to Christians who are going through trials, and they will be going through more. And what he wants to encourage them, and he's encouraging us, is to not let these trials and these difficulties move us from hope to despair. That's what he's going to help us to do. I want to look at two definitions of hope. One would be one that you would find in the dictionary. It goes something like this. The definitions define hope as a feeling of expectation, a desire or wish for a certain thing to happen. In the earlier lesson, I talked about being a young child excited about going to Disneyland, and it doesn't pan out, and you're all excited, or you expect something, or you're looking forward to something that might happen, or you hope will happen, and that would be similar for us as Christians. But when we look at the biblical definition, we take that a step farther. Hope, then, takes it one step farther. Hope is an expectation with certainty that God will do what He has said. And that's the hope we're going to talk about this morning. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and follow with me just verses 13 through 16. Peter has been talking about hope up to this point. But beginning in verse 13, he says, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action, be sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" Now, I want to point out a couple things in this passage as we just observe a few things. You notice in verse 13, he says, prepare your minds for action, be sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace of Jesus Christ. I want to show you here that Peter is not suggesting that we do three things here. Peter's only talking about setting our hope fully on His grace. The first two, which we're going to look at here in a moment, preparing your minds and being sober, I call those the disciplines that are going to be necessary to help us set our hope fully on His grace. And we'll look at those in just a moment. So let me ask this question. Where's your hope right now? I want you to just give this some thought for a moment. Where is your hope this very moment? Amidst all the things going on. I'm going to assume that we're all going to say, on His grace, Scott. That's one of the reasons why I'm here in these elements. Fully on His grace. Second question then, how much of your hope is on His grace? You might say, well, why am I asking that question? Look at verse 13 again. Therefore, prepare your minds for action, be sober-minded, set your hope fully. Some Bible versions use the word completely. King James uses the phrase to the end, the idea of not wavering. What Peter is telling these Christians here, and the message for us, is this. That our hope should not be divided among God, possessions, family, things of that nature. It shouldn't be split. It should be all totally on God's grace. I might ask myself, if I lose my family, if I lose my possessions, my lifestyle, my freedom to worship God, if I should lose these things, will my hope be affected? Now my answer to that is yes, it will be affected. But where will it be when the dust settles? That's how I look at this. We go through a trial, we go through a difficulty, we go through a challenge, and things are all in turmoil, and if you've been through some of the challenges that you've been through life, I know for me, some of them were very challenging for me emotionally. And there were some days where I felt all I could muster up was a prayer to God saying, thank you for this day, we'll address tomorrow. Well, we'll just take one day at a time because there was so much going on. But I always found at the end of the day, when the dust settled, when the turmoil, and I got to lay my head down that night, that I could rest my hope fully on God and His grace. So let's talk a little bit about these disciplines for a moment. Peter says there, prepare your mind. You know, I look, okay, prepare your mind. Well, what does he mean by that? I think Peter's telling us, get your thinking straight. Have your mind ready for these things. Man is distraught over a lot of things right now. Health, jobs, political issues, you know, worshiping God. We've got a lot going on in our lives right now. And as serious as those are, as challenging those are, please understand that Peter is not trying to minimize these. I believe what Peter's trying to do here is help us face these trials and compare them to the hope that we have. That's what he's trying to get us to do. You're going to go through these things, compare them to the foundation you have in Jesus Christ. Look at verses 6 and 7 of chapter 1. He says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through it, is tested by fire, may be found to result to praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter's still talking about hope there. He says, when you go through these trials, if necessary, they're grievous, they're hard, they'll wear you down. But they're testing your faith, and what's the end result? The end result is to God's glory. That's what Peter's pointing out there in verses 6 and 7. Having our minds on His grace is how we endure, not vice versa, not the other way around. In other words, we don't wait for the situation, which they're going to come. The trials are going to come. We don't wait for the trial or the persecution and then decide, wow, where should I invest my time and effort right now? No. Peter's saying, you're going through trials now, Christian. They're going to get worse. I'm not saying that's for us. I hope they don't get worse. I hope the worst is behind us. Maybe it's not. I don't know. And I don't really think it's that important, to be honest with you. I think what's important is, where is my mind now, at this very moment? Where is my heart? Where is my hope when these things come? That's what Peter is telling us. He says, put your mind in the right place. That's what he's saying. So let's look at the second part of that. He talks about being sober-minded. Peter is saying, take a serious look at life. Because the mind set on Christ is the mind that can see what is important, especially during trials. It's that idea of saying, okay, I'm going through this. I don't like it. I don't know what the outcome is. But I'm going to see through this, and I'm going to seek God's wisdom. I'm going to keep in His Word. I'm going to keep in prayer. So when the dust settles, I still find myself resting fully on His grace. One of the ways I describe this idea of hope or losing hope is I use the word distractions, because I think that's what Satan does. Satan tries to distract us through a trial, through a difficulty, whatever that might be. And we need to be watchful for his distractions. I'm going to give an illustration. I teach a class. Tyler teaches the same class too. We teach a class called project management. And I'm going to use an illustration from that class. And we take 2 days and we do a flyover of the subject of project management. I joke around and I say it's a 4-year degree in 2 days or less. And we fly through this. And the first part of the class is I talk about the things that might cause your project to fail. One of them is distractions. One of the things that can affect our project is if we get distracted. We talk about a project definition or our focus. And all the things that you do, your tasks, must point to that objective. Well, it's the same thing for us as Christians. The things that we're saying, the things that we're doing, must always point to God. And be sure that we're not distracted. I use the example of the Titanic in class. Some of you may remember in details the historical, we all know what happened, but one of the key reasons why the Titanic sank was because of the distractions that the radio man went through. So many things were going on, he wasn't focused on what was going on, and he got distracted. And that was one of the contributing factors. And what was the end result? The ship sank. My point is, don't let your ship sink. Don't let Satan get us distracted. So here's what I would ask you to do. Ask yourself, what are the distractions, if you can identify them, what might be the distractions that Satan is using to mess with your hope right now? And I'm not going to give a big list. And then what I want us to do is I want us just to review for a moment and listen to the advice Peter gives us. What is he saying here? Get your minds right. Identify it. Get serious about it and get your mind back on track. That's his advice to these brethren right here. Stay focused. There's really nothing more that he's saying there. And he goes on to talk about the grace of God. And we're not going to spend time on that this morning, but we are going to talk about holiness here in just a moment. Let's come back to verses 14 through 16. I want to point out a couple things here. He says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but he who called you is holy. You be holy in your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So I look at that and I ask myself, well, who are the obedient? My answer to that is those who have set their hope fully on Christ. Those are those who are obedient. But you notice there in verse 14, he says, don't be conformed to those passions that destroy you. Give those up. Why? Well, look at verse 15 and 16. Because we've been called to something really wonderful. Holiness. Let's talk about holiness for a moment. There in verse 16, Peter says at the end there, he says, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Now, Peter is quoting from Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 2. Let's talk about holiness for a moment. If I say, what is the definition of holiness? Probably everyone, you're probably already muttered under your mask, set apart. Right, but I don't think that is a complete definition of this. I think it lacks. Holiness is separation from one thing and set apart to another. Holiness is not just stopping the sin, or I'm going to stop doing bad things. We have to go from one thing to another. Let's illustrate this in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, where Paul tells Timothy, "Flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the name of the Lord from a pure heart." Notice what he says, flee youthful passions and do what? Relax, you're good. No. What does he say? He says, flee that and pursue righteousness and faith. So we commit to something righteous. There's another point here that I think is really important. Look at verse 16 again. You shall be holy, for I am holy. Here's my question. Who sets the standard? God does. And that's really important. Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. You all know it. I'm going to go ahead and read it. Nadab and Abihu. But I'm going to go ahead and read that. Now, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And the fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord has said. Among those who are near me, I will be sanctified, and before all peoples, I will be glorified." And Aaron held his peace. I'm not going to sit here and talk about what the strange fire is, but here's one thing I do know. They established in their own minds their own righteousness, and it was not God's, and they were destroyed because of it. I can claim to be righteous. I can claim to be a righteous person, but that does not qualify me, maybe there's a better term there, does not present me before God as holy. Why is that? Well, let me give you an illustration. Let's just say I ride on the coattails of goodness. I'm just a good guy. I try to be a good guy. I'm a friend. I'm a friend to you all, and I try to do things, and I love my wife, and I love my family, and I talk to God. But I don't need worship. All right? I don't have to worship. Because in my mind, God understands Scott's heart, right? God understands that I'm going to worship Him, and I'm going to go off and do my own thing on Sunday because I got a busy week, a busy schedule. See where I'm going with this. What have I done? I've established my own righteousness, and I'm thinking, look, I'm righteous, I'm holy. Not unless I can follow the standard for holiness. Not unless I can look to God and say, what has God established as holy? And in order to be holy, I have to see God as holy. I think that's another flaw sometimes, is we fail to see God as holy for who He is. Rather, many today view God as He's got my best interests at heart. He cares about me. I don't think He's as hardcore as, wherever our mind might take us. But we've got to take God seriously. And I think that comes back to what Peter said earlier about being sober-minded. I need to be sober-minded. Take Him seriously. I must worship as He's instructed. I must do the things that God has instructed. I must trust Him throughout all these difficult times. And these are the actions of holy people. This is what Peter is telling us. We're separate from the world in our actions, in our relationship to God, because we have our hope set fully on His grace. I'm going to ask the question again. Where's your hope? Are you following God no matter the circumstance that you're in? Are you reaching towards God because of His holiness? If the answer to that is yes, then I'm going to say our hope is completely on His grace. I'm going to close with this illustration. In high school, I was in auto shop. I lift hoods today. I lifted the hood of Abigail's car and I said, nope, and I just shut it, not touching it. But let's go back to the 70s. Wow, I'll go ahead and say it. You're really old, Scott. Let's go back, auto shop, 4 years of auto shop. Loved auto shop, rebuilding motors, setting cranks, setting the pistons, adjusting the valves, doing all these things. We had a great teacher. Fantastic shop teacher. And we went all the way through the process of building a motor, assembling it. So we get to the point where we're going to start this up. And all the guys are in there. We're all excited. We stick the key in the ignition. And somebody says, let's hope she starts. And the teacher stops us and says, hope? Did you follow the instructions? Yeah. Did you do everything? Did we do everything right? Yes. Is everything hooked up? So we did a checklist. We turned her up, fired her up. Man, she fired up. We listened to that cam, just all those beautiful scents. It's a beautiful smell. You have to understand it, right? And you're just enjoying this. And the point he was making is, if you're unprepared, if you didn't follow the instructions, then hope is not a tactic. That's what he was telling us. If we're unprepared, if we are not following God's instruction, if we are not esteeming God as holy, if when the dust settles, we're somewhere else other than God, then our hope is in the wrong space, in the wrong place. And so I want to encourage us just to remind ourselves what Peter is telling us here. Whether we're in this now, whenever this or whatever ends, whatever, what I mean, you know, coronavirus, trials, difficulties, whatever those are, find your hope fully in Jesus Christ. And that's what's going to get us through. Waking up each morning and going to God in prayer and just thanking Him for another day. Saying, all right, Lord, let's get through this. Just one more day. Not going to worry about tomorrow. James warns us about that. Let's not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow we'll have enough troubles. Let's just take one day at a time. Let's fully trust God and lean fully on His grace. Thank you so much for your attention. In just a moment, Steve is going to lead us in a song of invitation. Whatever your spiritual need is, we are here to help you, pray for you. If you are ready to give yourself to God in faithful obedience, we can assist you in that. We have a baptistry. And let's stay focused. Let's trudge forward and keep our hope fully on God. Steve, let's stand and sing.